decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, and this episode is pre-recorded. No, it's not. I'm live. We're here. We're back. I have returned from California safely and soundly. For those of you who were counting, my total number of Chick-fil-A meals was 11. Now, actually dining at the restaurant was 9, but I was served Chick-fil-A twice outside of the restaurant. The first one was kind of funny. When I rolled into town, it was just right after lunchtime, and I made my first stop, the Grace to You offices. And as I got to the Grace to You offices, I walked in, and unbeknownst to me, they were having a staff lunch. And Phil Johnson's executive assistant, Christy, handed me a sandwich as I walked in. So that was my Chick-fil-A lunch when I first arrived in Santa Clarita. Need coffee today. Time change on Sunday, and then I lost another hour coming back don't ever think you can't get jet lag driving. We can travel so quickly, even in a car, that time matters. And I used to have to deal with this when I was over the road trucking, because whenever I was hauling east and west, I'd have to figure out, okay, you know, delivery is at 6 a.m. That's, you know, 4 a.m. truck time, because my truck was set to the time of my home terminal, because that's what you have to do, because all of your logs and everything are figured in that time. And then, but your delivery times are always set for local time. So that was always an issue. And I'm experiencing that this morning, because in the last couple of days, I've lost 2 hours. And so I'm definitely sipping coffee today. Yeah, good stuff. All right. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture. We are reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible Translation, the New Legacy Standard Bible Translation. And the guys at 316 gave me, which I just dropped on the floor, a lovely new LSB ball cap with 316 Publishing on the back. Gary Kim, the president of Steadfast Bibles, handed that to me himself, which it was just fun to catch up with those guys. I don't work for Steadfast Bibles. I don't work for 316 Publishing, as you know, but I am friends with those guys, and I've been a huge supporter of the LSB translation since I first got word that it was coming out. Had a great visit with Abner Chow while I was down there, who was the head of the translating committee. And we talked a little bit about the Bible, and I've known him for several years. And we had a conversation back in 2018, which he admitted to me did inspire a lot of the decisions that went into the LSB. So that was kind of nice to have that confirmed. I figured he had remembered. But it was too big of a coincidence that 2 years after we had that conversation, they started doing the LSB, and he was hitting my check marks. The only thing that the LSB doesn't do that I suggested at that time was consistently translate baptismo as immerse, which would have settled quite a few things. Would have helped to translate glossolalians, tongues instead of languages, or languages instead of tongues. That would have helped a lot too. But we get what we get, and so there is room for the most accurate translation in English to be improved. Excuse me. Now, the exciting thing, and I'll hold up my phone here, is that now the LSB app has the entire Old and New Testaments on it. So all of that is now available on the LSB app. It's got footnotes and everything. The translator's notes are there. The LSB Bible digital file is complete, and it's on Accordance. It's on the LSB app, which Accordance put out. And so you can get it on Accordance, and you can get it on the LSB app right now. I've already downloaded it onto my desktop. So I've got the Old and New Testament in Accordance, which is going to help with study. And I've got it on my phone, which is going to be great. And Accordance is going to have the file exclusively for a short time because they're troubleshooting it and making sure everything's fine. And then any changes, excuse me, and I didn't hit the cough button, sorry. Any changes that need to be made to that electronic file will then be made, and then it will be distributed to all the other digital platforms. I know Literal Word, which is my favorite Bible app for the iPhone. It's probably great on Accordance too, but Google too, but I don't have an Android, so I'm not sure. I can't speak to that. But as far as the iPhone goes, the Literal Word app is my all-time favorite. And they are going to be adding the LSB to the Literal Word app. Right now, the Literal Word app just has the NASB 95. Excuse me. Slow down. I'm excited to be back. Right now, the Literal Word app only has the NAS 95. But they're going to update it when the LSB files become available. They're going to update it to include the LSB and the ESV. So that will be an app where you can get the three best, in my opinion, the three best English translations available right now. And I give the top notch to the LSB as far as accuracy and consistency goes. The ESV would top it out for readability, but I think the accuracy and the consistency of the LSB more than make up for the occasional awkward turn of phrase. And so I am an LSB pusher, unapologetic. You know, so you can get the LSB app. It'll have the full Bible on it. Now, I know some folks had some difficulty updating their apps to get the whole Old and New Testament. I didn't have a problem, but then I'm an Accordance user, so I'm used to their system. You have to go to the download content area and then hit update, and you'll see the update file. And the one you want is LSB with Strong's numbers. That's the file you want to download. And there's a separate file for the LSB translator notes. You can download that as well. But you have to actually go and manually update that in the app and make sure you download the correct Bible file. Excuse me, more coffee. And so, you know, I encourage you to do that. It's great to have it on the app. I'm excited about that. I will probably at some point go back to using the app for my Bible reading here in the morning, which I did with when we went through the New Testament. I was using the LSB Bible app on my iPad. Now that the whole Bible is there, I intend to go back and use the LSB Bible app again for our Bible readings in the morning. And I didn't hit the cough button again. I'm out of practice. I'm sorry. Anyway, adjusting to be back in the piney woods. Glad to be back. Squirrel Chatter, I want to remind you, is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out all the great curated podcasts. And I got a funny story. A Christian Podcast Community is a ministry of Striving for Eternity's ministry. And Striving for Eternity's Ministries, our head poobah is Andrew Rappaport. Well, I was sitting with Andrew at one of the tables in front of the on the plaza in front of the patio or in front of the seminary at Shepherd's Conference, and we're all talking and having a good time. And my wife sent me a picture of Darby the hamster. Now, if you're a longtime Squirrel Chatter listener, you know the last word you hear is the melodious voice of Gabe Hughes telling you that Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster. So I'm passing around, and Darby is right here over my right shoulder. You can't quite see her back behind me, but she's there. I've already given her cuddles and seeds this morning. She's getting to be old. She's starting to show her age, but she's still a sweet little girl. So passing around this picture of Darby, and Andrew starts laughing. And I said, "What?" He said, "There really is a hamster." I'm like, "Well, yeah." He thought it was all just a joke. But no, there is a studio hamster. She's right behind me and sitting in her micropalatial hamster habitat. So there's that. But had a good time visiting with a lot of people at Shepherd's Conference. We'll pick that up here as we end. Let's get our Bible reading out of the way, because it is our priority here this morning. Today, our scripture is going to be Numbers 34 through 36 and Luke chapter 4. So we get to finish up Numbers today. Let's begin with our prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Numbers chapter 34. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel, and say to them, When you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, even the land of Canaan according to its borders. And your southern sector shall extend from the wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom, and your southern border shall extend from the end of the Salt Sea eastward. Then your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and continue to Zin, and its termination shall be to the south of Kadesh Barnea. And it shall reach Hazaradar and continue to Asmon. And the border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and its termination shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, you shall have the great sea, that is, its coastline. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. You shall draw your border line from the great sea to Mount Hor. You shall draw a line from Mount Hor to Labo Hamath. And the termination of the border shall be at Zedad. And the border shall proceed to Ziphron, and its termination shall be Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border. For your east border, you shall also draw a line from Hazar Enan to Shepham. And the border shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain. And the border shall go down and reach to the slope of the east side of the Sea of Kinnereth. And the border shall go down to the Jordan, and its termination shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land according to its borders all around. So Moses commanded the sons of Israel, saying, This is the land that you shall inherit by lot as you among you as a possession, which Yahweh has commanded to give you to the 9.5 tribes. For the tribes of the son of Reuben have received theirs according to their fathers' households, and the tribes of the sons of Gad according to their fathers' households, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two and a half tribes have received their inheritance across the Jordan, opposite Jericho to the east toward the sunrise. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "These are the names of the men who shall apportion the land to you for an inheritance, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to apportion the land for inheritance." Now these are the names of the men. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of the sons of Simeon, Samuel, the son of Amihud. Of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Kislon. Of the tribe of the sons of Dan, a leader, Buki, the son of Jogli. Of the tribes of the sons of Joseph, of the tribe of Manasseh, a leader, Hanael, the son of Ephod. Of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, a leader, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan. Of the tribes of the sons of Zebulun, a leader, Elizaphan, the son of Parnak. Of the tribes of the sons of Issachar, a leader, Paltiel, the son of Azan. Of the tribes of the sons of Asher, a leader, Ahihud, the son of Shilomi. Of the tribe of the son of Naphtali, a leader, Pedahel, the son of Amihud. These are those whom Yahweh commanded to apportion the inheritance to the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. Chapter 35. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, "Command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the inheritance of their possessions cities to live in. And you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the cities, and the cities shall be theirs to live in, and their pasture lands shall be for their cattle and for their herds and for all their beasts." And the pasture lands of the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits around. You shall also measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, with the city in the center. This shall be theirs as pasture lands for their city. And the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be the six cities of refuge, which you shall give for the manslayer to flee to. And in addition to them, you shall give 42 cities. All the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, together with their pasture lands. Now as for the cities which you shall give from the possession of the sons of Israel, you shall take more from the larger, and you shall take less from the smaller. Each shall give some of his cities to the Levites in proportion to his possession which he inherits. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select for yourselves cities to be your cities of refuge, that the manslayer who has struck down any person unintentionally may flee there. And the cities shall be for you as a refuge from the avenger, so that the manslayer will not die until he stands before the congregation for judgment. And the cities which you are to give shall be your six cities of refuge. You shall give three cities across the Jordan and three cities in the land of Canaan. They are to be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for the refuge for the sons of Israel and for the sojourner and for the foreign resident among them, that anyone who strikes a person down unintentionally may flee there. But if he struck him down with an iron object so that he died, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he struck him down with a stone in the hand by which he would die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he struck him with a wooden object in the hand by which he would die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The blood avenger himself shall put the murderer to death. He shall put him to death when he meets him. And if he pushed him of hatred or threw something at him lying in wait, and as a result he died, or if he struck him down with his hand in enmity, and as a result he died, the one who struck struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The blood avenger shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. But if he pushed him suddenly without enmity, or threw something at him without lying in wait, or with any stone by which one might die, yet without seeing, and it fell upon him, and he died, but he was not his enemy, nor seeking his injury, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the blood avenger according to these legal judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the blood avenger, and the congregation shall restore him to his city of refuge to which he fled. And he shall live in it until the death of the high priest, who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes beyond the border of his city of refuge to which he may flee, and the blood avenger finds him outside the border of his city of refuge, and the blood avenger kills the manslayer, he will not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer shall return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be for a statutory judgment to you throughout your generations in all your places of habitation. If anyone strikes down a person, the murderer shall be put to death at the mouth of the witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall not take ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, and he shall surely be put to death. And you shall not take ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to live in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no propitiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. And you shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, Yahweh, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. Chapter 36. And the heads of the fathers' households of the family of the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the family of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the leaders. The heads of the fathers' households and of the sons of Israel, and they said, Yahweh commanded my Lord to give the land by lot to the sons of Israel as an inheritance. And my Lord was commanded by Yahweh to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they marry one of the sons of the other tribes, of the sons of Israel, their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of our father, and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. Thus it will be withdrawn from our allotted inheritance. And when the jubilee of the sons of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. So their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Then Moses commanded the sons of Israel according to the word of Yahweh, saying, The tribe of the sons of Joseph are right in their statements. This is what Yahweh has commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry whoever is good in their sight, only they must marry within the family of the tribe of their father. Thus no inheritance of the sons of Israel shall be transferred from tribe to tribe. For the sons of Israel shall each hold to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who comes into possession of an inheritance of any tribe of the sons of Israel shall be wife to one of the family of the tribe of her father, so that the sons of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for the tribes of the sons of Israel shall each hold to his own inheritance. Just as Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the daughters of Zelophehad did, and Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, married their uncle's sons. They married those from the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained within the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which Yahweh commanded to the sons of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, opposite Jericho. Now Luke chapter 4. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was being led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had finished, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this dominion and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. And he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the scroll and found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him, and marveling at the gracious words which were coming forth from his lips. And they were saying, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal thyself. Whatever we heard took place at Capernaum, do also here in your hometown as well. And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a grain famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people of the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they stood up and drove him out of the city and led him to the edge of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went on his way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked it, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, it came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all. And they were talking with one another, saying, What is this message? For what authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him was spreading into every place in the surrounding district. Then he stood up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she stood up and began waiting on them. And while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. And demons also were coming out of many and shouting and saying, You are the Son of God. But rebuking them, he was not allowing them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were eagerly seeking him, and came to him, and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogue of Judea. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now our collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I have returned from Shepherd's Conference. I've been gone for 14 days, today is the 14th day since I left home. I was gone for 13 days. I got home right around 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, pulled into the driveway, unloaded the car, sat down in the recliner, and didn't move. Before I sat down, I did come in and greet Darby the hamster and give her snuggles and snacks. I also did that right before I went to bed last night. But pretty much I spent the evening in the recliner because I was pretty tired. Two long days on the road. And when I'm driving in the car, I'm not covered by the, I'm a commercial driver. I know the rules of the road, and a commercial driver is only allowed to drive 11 hours a day. That's when driving a commercial vehicle. Driving my private vehicle, I'm not covered by the motor carrier safety regulations. So I was not limiting myself to 11 hours, although I didn't actually go much over that. I had a long drive Monday, and then yesterday was 6 hours, 7 hours, a little bit. Let's see. It's 5 hours from here to Idaho Falls, and I was in just north of Salt Lake, so it's probably 2 hours. Yeah, about 7 hours yesterday. Monday was my long day. I pulled out of Santa Clarita right as the sun was coming up, and drove to Layton, Utah, which is right there between Salt Lake and Ogden, and to be honest, the strip of I-15 from Ogden through Salt Lake all the way to Provo, it's really one city. It's about, I don't know how many miles that is, but it's really one big city. Now, granted, there are different administrations and stuff, but it's one metroplex, as the words go. And boy, it's gotten built up. I remember driving the first times I was driving through Salt Lake, going down I-15 in the early 90s, when I used to regularly go down to Phoenix in February for a Society for Creative Anachronism event, which is a different story entirely. But I used to regularly go down to Phoenix in February when I was in college, and driving through Salt Lake, the temple dominated the skyline of Salt Lake. You would look east from the highway, and the temple was, you know, the Mormon temple was very visible. You know, I looked for it yesterday coming through, or 2 days ago coming through there, and I couldn't even see it. There's so many high rises around it. I couldn't take my eye off the road long enough to try to spot it. So Temple Square has been completely obscured from the highway by high rise buildings, as we see that Salt Lake City has obviously grown quite a bit since the first times I visited there. But that's a long stretch of highway, and I always try to get past it so that I don't have to deal with rush hour the next morning, and I didn't. I was able to get on the road yesterday and boogie up. Now, backing up 13 days, driving down, I did the same thing in reverse. I left here early in the morning. I drove all the way to southern Utah, just shy of St. George, Utah, so that I was able to roll into L.A. by lunchtime. And that was at late lunch. It was 1 o'clock, I think, when I pulled in there. But, of course, I gained an hour going that way. I lost an hour coming this way. So I was not going to make it lunchtime yesterday. I had no intention of getting up that early, especially after losing an hour on Sunday. So let's talk about daylight savings time. Does anybody like it? Now, I'm not saying daylight savings time. It's the time change I don't like. I don't care if it's daylight savings time or standard time. Pick one and leave it there. Or split the difference. Move the world's clocks half an hour and leave it there. We don't need to be moving the clocks twice a year. Frustrating thing. And the older I get, the more it frustrates me. I just can't stand changing the time. And, well, you just say that in the spring, because in the fall you get an hour back. No, I don't like it in the fall either. Just leave it alone. We don't need to be changing the clocks all the time. Leave it on daylight savings time. Leave it on standard time. Split the difference. I don't care. Just leave it somewhere. That's my rant for that. And that's just it. I hate it every year, and I imagine everybody else does too. It was tough getting up for church on Sunday. I know I'm not alone in having that difficulty, but it was a good time. So, let's see. Like I said, gone 13 days, so I don't have time to review everything this morning. Probably be putting a lot of it off until next week, mainly because tomorrow we got Theology Thursday, and we'll see what we do on Friday. I haven't picked a topic, so I'm probably going to do the majority of my review of the actual conference next week. So today I'm just kind of reviewing the trip. So 2 weeks ago, I left, drove down to Los Angeles, arrived on Friday in Santa Clarita at the offices of Grace to You, where, as I said, Phil Johnson's executive assistant, Christy, handed me a Chick-fil-A sandwich as I walked in, which was really funny. And absolutely wonderful. I still laugh at that. The funny thing was, she said, she's looking out the window as I'm walking in from my car. And she says, oh, it's Squirrel. And so all the other people that don't know me, and that's not a lot, but there are a few, were standing next to her going, where's the squirrel? They weren't looking for me. They were looking for an actual furry little squirrel. So that was funny. We got a chuckle out of that. So I got to visit with the folks at Grace to You, briefly on Friday afternoon before heading over to Fred Butler's house. Excuse me. We're heading over to Fred Butler's house and settling in with them. It was great to stay with them again. I absolutely love the Butlers. Fred and his wife Brenda and their 5 kids, who are much older now than they were the first time I stayed there. The first time I stayed there, Brenda was pregnant with Sally, their youngest, and Sally is now 10. So the time has flown by. All the rest of them are actually teenagers. Caleb is finishing his freshman year at Masters University, their oldest. Josh is a senior. Noah, I think, is a sophomore. Big kid, too. He's playing football. He and Caleb are both not Josh is almost as tall as I am, but Noah and Caleb are big guys, bulky guys, and a very athletic family. I think the two older boys, Caleb played lacrosse in high school. Joshua is playing lacrosse in high school, and Noah's playing football. So very athletic young men. Had a great time staying with them and visiting with them. Saturday, what did we do Saturday? I'm wanting to say we didn't do much. I know Fred and Brenda had to go pick up a piece of furniture that they had bought. Brenda is queen of secondhand shopping online. And they have some very nice furniture in their home, most of which I don't think they bought new. She finds deals online. And so she found this wardrobe for their bedroom online, and they had to go pick it up. They actually had to rent a U-Haul to go get it because there was no way it was going to fit in the back of their car. And so they went and picked up the U-Haul and went and picked up this huge armoire. And we're looking at it, and I don't remember the name of the cabinet maker, but it was actually made in Liverpool, England, by a cabinet maker that has the royal, you know, says that he's made furniture for the Queen. And so it's probably a very expensive piece of furniture that came from overseas, and she stole it for very little money. But gosh, just a beautiful piece of cabinetry. Just absolutely beautiful. And so that was what they did Saturday. And I just basically sat around and read and reviewed my sermon for Sunday night, because Sunday I preached at Calvary Baptist of Burbank. And I will cross-post those messages here on the audio feed. Or I think I already linked the audio feed on Twitter, if you'd like to listen to those messages. But I will cross-post them here. I need to contact Pastor Anthony Forsyth and get the audio files from him. Actually, I can probably just download them from the website, but I should get his permission to use his audio, even though they're my sermons. But I will post those. But it was fun because he had asked me months ago, actually, to preach at his church. But I was only supposed to do that the Sunday evening after Shepherd's Conference. I told him I wasn't available for Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings I was going to Grace Church. John MacArthur's 82, and he's still preaching as powerfully as ever. But he's 82, and how many more opportunities am I going to have to sit under his preaching? And I love that man dearly. I love his preaching dearly. And, but it's, you know, I've noticed he's walking up to and away from the pulpit like an old man, because he is an old man. And, I mean, still his mind is every bit as sharp. He's preaching better than ever. But watching him walk, it's started to occur to me, gosh, John's old. He's not going to be here forever. So I made sure to sit under his teaching both Sundays and both sessions during the Shepherd's Conference. I made sure I was there for those, which was really good. And I don't want to be, you know, don't get sad and mourn the man before he passes. But the time's coming when we're not going to have him with us anymore. So do keep him in prayer. Keep his wife Patricia and his children in prayer as well. And Grace Church, as they must be thinking of what to go to next. Now, I have some suggestions. There is a young man there on the staff of Grace Church that would be my first choice to succeed John. But, of course, I'm not a member of Grace Church, and I'm certainly not one of the elders there. So my my opinion, and $1.25 will get you a cup of coffee at Cracker Barrel. So, I remember when coffee used to be like a dime or a nickel. I don't think I ever saw it that cheap, but it was a quarter, I think, when I started. You get coffee for a quarter. Now some places it's a couple of bucks. And that's not counting the foo-foo coffee shops where they seriously overcharge you for coffee. You know, $5-6 for a cup of coffee is ridiculous. So, $5-6 for a gallon of gas is ridiculous. When I fueled up in Santa Clarita coming home, it was $5.99 for a gallon of gas. That hurt. That hurt a lot. But once I got out of the People's Republic of California, my next fuel stop was in Utah, and actually my next fuel stop was in Nevada, and the fuel was well over a dollar less expensive. It was like $4.30 something. So much happier feeling up there. Still completely unhappy. I'm missing that $1.87 gas that we had when Trump was president. And don't let people tell you the gas prices are due to the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. These gas prices were soaring long before that happened. These gas prices are the result of Biden's policies shutting down domestic production, making us once again dependent upon foreign oil. You don't blame Russia and Ukraine. If we were not dependent on foreign oil, whatever happened in Russia and Ukraine wouldn't matter to us, because we would be able to produce our own oil and our own energy. We were energy independent under Trump, and the Biden administration threw that away. And even electronic vehicle proponents like Elon Musk are saying, hey, open up domestic production. We need to have our own oil. So when even the pushers of electronic vehicles see how much we need oil and are proclaiming that, that tells you something, doesn't it? So, yeah. So my advice, stop electing Democrats. Stop electing rhinos. We need to elect conservatives to our government, because we need a fiscally and morally conservative government. We need our land to repent of its sins and return to God. Turn to God. I shouldn't say return, as I've said multiple times, excuse me, most recently in my message Sunday night. Christianity has never been in the majority. I mean, we understand that narrow gate, you know, straight, you know, small gate, narrow path, broad gate, wide road. The broad gate and the wide road is leading to hell. The narrow gate, the straight gate and the narrow path leads to life. And Jesus said, few there are that find it. Now, we understand that that few is going to be at the culmination of God's plan for this earth, a number that is too great to count, but it's still the minority of all people. And because of that, Christianity has never been the majority. I don't think Christians are even the majority in a lot of churches. So, you know, don't ever expect that the nation is going to be Christian. But because of the influence of the Christians, because of the influence of the church, Western civilization, especially the areas affected by the Reformation, have been moral and prosperous compared to the rest of the world. And that has slipped away. And we pray for that return. We pray for God to have mercy upon us, that He would lead our nation back from the brink once again. Recently reading about World War II and just thinking about what God has saved us from in history, that He has protected us from evil men like Hitler and Stalin and prevented them from taking over Europe and, by extension, the Western world. But the Western world has turned away from God. And Europe is mostly atheist now. America's mostly atheist now, or at least mostly secular. There's a lot of people that claim to believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. And so it's never been the majority, but God can have mercy on us. And so we plead for him for that. But at the same time, even so, come Lord Jesus. When his judgment finally falls, and I believe a lot of what's going on now is, to be technically, theologically correct, every bad thing that happens on earth is God's judgment on sin, either in general or specifically. Now, we can't point out specifically unless it's a direct physical result. We can't point out specifically the God's that natural disaster is God's judgment on sin, or that this circumstance is God's judgment on this sin. We can't do that. Because apart from direct revelation, we don't know why that last hurricane hit Florida or that last earthquake hit California. Or we can't say, I remember Pat Robertson saying that, the Haitian earthquake was God's judgment on Haiti for a deal they made with the devil to kick out the French colonies 200 years ago. And you just got to laugh uproariously because God doesn't tell us that. The only way we can know, we could specifically tie a disaster like that to a specific sin is if God in Scripture said, this is why this happened. And since the Scripture is closed, the canon of Scripture is closed, God is not giving new revelation, he's not telling us that. So don't get caught up in things like that. But every bad thing is generally punishment for sin, in general. Because that's why bad things happen, because people are sinful and earth is under God's wrath and the curse that was begun in Genesis chapter 3. We live in a post-Genesis 3 world. It's full of sin. It's full of the results and consequences of sin, including natural disasters, diseases, bloodshed, suffering, war. All of these things are the consequences of sin. And so that is, everything is God's judgment on sin. But don't start getting specific and saying this is happening because of this. But having said that, America has been a wicked country and we are being punished. All we have to do is look at the number of children that we have aborted since Roe v. Wade in the early 70s was passed. Not passed, I mean, it was handed down from the Supreme Court, who do not constitutionally and should not actually have any sort of legislative power at all. So the Roe v. Wade decision itself is unconstitutional and should be overturned. And you can quote me on that. I will stand by it. So that's the situation we're in. And I am far afield from my topic of the Shepherd's Conference. Maybe I'm seeing daylight savings time is God's judgment on sin. Here we go. I'll say it and I'll stand by it. All right, folks. Well, we will get more into reviewing Shepherd's Conference probably starting Friday and then into next week. We got Theology Thursday tomorrow, as I believe we begin. I haven't looked at my notes yet, but I believe we're beginning chapter 4 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, as we continue to work our way through the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, which I have repeated twice now in just a couple of minutes. All right, well, thanks for being with me. It's good to be back. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.